Welcome to On the Brink, a fresh lens to take you and your business to new heights. I'm Andy Simon, and as you know, my job is to help you get off the brink. We don't want you to get stuck or stalled. It's time for you to soar. And remember, my job is to help you in love change. In the times, they are changing and fast, and most people hate change. I bring to you wonderful people. Mark Schaefer today is shaking his head. If you can watch the video, you will see him. We do this and we love to share with you our ideas, our wisdom. And this isn't about selling you anything. This is about sharing so that you can see, feel, and think better. And your mind will stop fighting what's happening anyhow. And so today we're going to talk about all kinds of things, marketing. All kinds of things that are just going to be wonderful. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
I am so delighted to see you again. We've been connected for a long time, and so I'm happy to talk to you today.
Let me tell the audience about why Mark is so special to bring to our screen and to our listeners. His bio you can find on LinkedIn, but I'll pick out the parts here that I think set the stage for today. He's a globally recognized keynote speaker, marketing strategy consultant, college educator, and author, and he does them all extremely well. He's built a career helping companies and leaders rise above the noise to become the signal in a world of overwhelming information density. As executive director of U.S.-based Schaefer Marketing Solutions, he specializes in developing digital strategies as well as assisting with marketing training and social media workshops. Clients include startups, global brands such as Adidas, J&J, Dell. He has advanced degrees. He's also a faculty member at the Graduate Studies Program at Rutgers. But I love his books. He's a best-selling author of 9 popular books. So you can go back and begin to read 9 very different ways of seeing the world of marketing mature. And I think that's what's so exciting, because he's been writing, and in the process, you can see what happens. The first book was Influence Marketing, those influencers, Return on Influence. The most popular book on personal branding, known, The Chart-Topping Marketing Rebellion, and The Acclaimed Cumulative Advantage. And he has a new book out. He's going to talk about belonging to the brand. It's all about community. And remember, as an anthropologist, I will tell you often, humans love to belong. We're herd animals. And we haven't really paid attention to it the way it ought to be. And Mark is smiling because today we're going to talk about why, as you're thinking about your community, your marketing, it's not about what you say, it's who says it beside you and how that belonging makes you feel important. So he's host of The Marketing Companion, one of the top 10 marketing podcasts on iTunes, and he has a whole lot of other wonderful things. We'll talk a little bit later about how to reach him if you want to do some personal coaching, but I just think you're going to enjoy our time together because I'm going to enjoy it too. Mark, tell us a little bit about your journey, because I like to set the stage so people know who they're listening to and why all of this fits together. Who is Mark Schaefer?
Well, I think the simple answer is I'm a teacher. I really am. You know, I think even in the corporate world, when you're a leader, you're a teacher. And I remember when I was working in a Fortune 100 company in marketing, I was helping my daughter with her homework, and she said, "You know, Daddy, I'm so confused at school, but when you explain it to me, it all makes sense. You should be a teacher." And I think that's what I ended up doing, whether I'm a speaker or a writer in my books and my blog. I'm a teacher. I think that's the simplest way to describe what I do, and it's what I love. It's my greatest reward to realize I'm having an impact on people and changing their lives and their business in some positive way.
But you know, I was a professor for a decade. I'm an anthropologist. I have my doctorate. And I, too, love to help people. And I say those words, see, feel, and think in new ways. But you didn't stay an educator. You've made it very different ways to help educate people. How did you get into, and marketing is such an interesting place to be educating. How did that all happen?
Well, it really all started with my blog. I left the corporate world. They wanted me to move to Europe, and after thinking about it and trying it for a little while, I decided I wanted to do something else. So I started my own business, And this was at a time when social media was really starting to explode. It's almost like AI now.
Yes.
We're just like, okay, it's here.
Don't lose that thought. That's right.
You know, I mean, what do we do? How do we adjust? What is this big thing that we have to deal with? And I thought it was just endlessly fascinating. And, you know, I know you talk about change, and I'm kind of a change junkie. I think to be in marketing today, you have to be a change junkie. So I wrote about this, and my blog is the intersection of marketing and technology and humanity.
Uh-huh.
And that is endlessly fascinating. And I'm so jealous that you're an anthropologist. If I had to do it all over again, I probably would be an anthropologist. I just love that. That's where I love to be. So I started writing about these changes and the impact on us as humans and on marketing. And the blog kind of took off. I was encouraged to write books. The books became popular. And as the books became popular, then I was invited to speak, and I was doing higher profile consulting gigs. I tend to be about 2 years ahead of my time. So that's kind of my track record.
But it doesn't look like it's a bleeding edge. You just...
Yeah, it's the dull edge. I don't know. But you mentioned, like, I wrote the first book on influence marketing, and that was 2012. Nobody was even using that term yet. And I predicted in 2 years, this is going to be a mainstream idea. And if you look at Google Trends and you investigate influencer marketing, 2012, nothing. 2013, nothing. Then 2014, hockey stick. And that's where it all started. And that's, I tend to be able to see how trends come together.
Yep.
And so that's really what propelled my new book as well, around community. Because I think there's three big things going on right now that are propelling this idea to look to examine the possibility of community as a brand marketing idea. One is traditional marketing just doesn't work like it used to. We're in a streaming economy. People hate ads. They block ads. And we need something different. We need a new way to connect to our customers. Number two, megatrend, mental health crisis. It's everywhere. And you mentioned when you were introducing me that, you know, we want to be in community. Not only do we want to be in community, we need to be in community to be fully formed human beings. And we are in a world today, as you know, Andy, that is so isolated, so depressed, so lonely. It's in the news every single day. And one of the things that propelled me to write this book, there was a headline in the New York Times that said, "The Loneliest Generation." It's talking about our children, our teenagers, and it just broke my heart. And I know the power of companies and marketing. And I just started to think about, you know, is there some role we can provide, you know, in with community and belonging? And then the third megatrend is that there's so much money going into new ways to connect and new ways to meet. I have a community on Discord, right? That's just young people today, especially, are surging into these areas to get away from public social media and create new safe places to meet and connect. And the new communities that are forming couldn't have happened 10 years ago. Yeah. So those three things are coming together. And that's why I'm so excited about community and what's happening in the world today, and how can also connect with what we're doing with our companies.
I want to set the stage for what your mega trends are. The loneliness is very worrisome for me because Gen Z men are committing more suicide than ever, and they have no friends, and they are not going to college, and they are lonely. And we'll talk about that a little bit. AI is part of the fourth industrial revolution, and the terms haven't become... they're not headlines yet, but we are living in a major transformation. Amy Webb's video that you included on that wonderful newsletter, I've sent everywhere I can, because this is now. It's not coming.
Yeah.
You know, that whatever the line was, the future's already here. It's just not widely distributed.
Yeah.
And so let's pay attention to that. And your community, I love, because it also gives, what's marketing about? It's connecting someone who needs something to something I do. You know, people say, how do you market? I say, I show up. You know, you can't buy me unless you know a little bit about what you need and what I might do to help you. And I don't know how you productize that and sell it as a software. But all of this is happening simultaneously. And our job is to figure out you as an educator, communicator, a marketer to help your clients and their customers understand how to thrive. And mine is to help them understand that the brain hates you and it hates me because it doesn't want to change and how to thrive. Let's go back to your AI for a moment, and then we'll go through your other three megatrends, because I think there, as a marketer and communicator and so forth, you have a role. And I've been listening to and using AI, and I love AI. My copywriter doesn't, but I'm having a ball learning what's coming. What do you see happening? And I know part of it, you saw it South by Southwest, but you're also seeing it in all of your Discord and other things. What is AI and why we should?
I'll tell you, as you were speaking there, something sort of dawned on me that's an interesting juxtaposition. So my Marketing Rebellion book, the subtitle is The Most Human Company Wins.
I'll say that again. I love it.
And I believe that. I believe that. And yet, if you look at this, the biggest trend, maybe, since fire, certainly since the internet, is AI. It's literally going to transform everything we do. It's going to touch every part of our lives. Innovation going forward will mean a layer of AI on everything we touch. We already see it.
Yep.
A recommendation in Spotify. I mean, that's AI. Mm-hmm. When our app gets us from point A to point B in our car. I mean, that's AI. So it's already happening. So, one of the implications, I think, Andy, is I do believe the most human company wins, but I think what companies usually do is they go overboard with something like AI. They're going to use it to cut costs, eliminate people, and maybe take a turn toward being less human. There are obviously ways you can use AI to be more human. If your customer service is terrible, all you have to do is implement AI that's one level above suck, and you're a more human company, right?
Pause for a second. I want to insert one thought. What does it mean to be human? Because I'm listening to you and I'm saying there clearly is something in your head that says, if I use technology, I'm less human. And if I'm going to succeed, I need to be more human.
Yeah.
But maybe using technology is more human. What is it that you're thinking about?
Well, I think that we have this longing for human connection.
Yeah.
For real, true human connection. And there was a quote from one of my favorite authors, Philip Kotler. Philip Kotler is probably the father of modern marketing. And I heard him on a podcast not long ago. I think he's 93 now. And he said, what's missing in our world, what's missing in marketing specifically, is a true human voice that's accessible, that's friendly, even vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I always hang on that word, vulnerability, because that is really when you know you've made a human connection. And I think, can I even think of a company that shows up in a way that's vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And to me, I think there are companies that are doing that, not necessarily large companies wedded to, advertising agencies, but I think companies can be led by people that show up in that way. And that sets the tone for the culture of the company. And I think that will persist. I think the most human company will win. And I think those companies will also be smart in how they use AI. And make sure that human connection is not lost.
And now, a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. That's us. And we're here to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. Whether you are an organization that's stuck or stalled, or an individual in that organization who's looking to rethink their own life's journey, Simon Associates has designed programs and processes to help you do just that. Our first book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights, told the stories of 7 clients who were stuck or stalled, and a little anthropology helped them see things through a fresh lens, reignite their growth, and soar again. My new book that came out in January 2021 is called Rethink, Smashing the Myths of Women in Business. It's all about how 11 women, including myself, were able to see past the hurdles, the glass ceilings, and the brick walls, and become the best that they could be. They heard things like women aren't lawyers, and women can't lead, and women aren't in geosciences, and they said, of course we are. And they really pushed through and did it with such ease that they want other women to see what's possible. At the end of the book, I provide a bit of a how-to process for you. If you're on the brink of rethinking your own life's journey, it's time to pause, step back, and ask yourself, where am I going? What's my passion and my purpose? And am I there or can I get there? Send us your emails to info@andysimon.com and we'll get right back to you to see how we can help. On andysimon.com are some free chapters for both books. And you can also join our newsletter and our Facebook group, Rethink with Andy Simon. We are bringing together women to help other women do what they can't do by themselves, very often to see what's possible and become the best that they can be. Come join us. And now back to our podcast.
Well, that leads you, or me at least, to the second mega trend, which is this behavioral health mess that we're in. All of the pandemic, but even before that, all the solo, we had a high rate of depression, like 30%. People were living alone, not realizing that that was the source of their own ill health. And humans need humans. And I was teasing a little bit, what does it mean to be a human company or a humane one? Well, it's also beginning to pull in this population that through isolation has now become unhappy. And the discord is profound, but the personal depression, you know, you can pop pills, but that's not going to solve a problem of building community. It sort of leads into your new book, but tie them together, because if companies are going to be more human and humane, they're going to have to do something to transform how people are living.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Well, I recently did a guest lecture at a national university, and the professor was so kind. She said, well, Mark, you've given your time today. What can we do for you? I said, you know, I'd like to have the students write an essay of what they're afraid of, other than the environment and, you know, global warming. What are you afraid of? And this young man wrote that, first of all, they did a beautiful job. I mean, I couldn't believe how much time they spent with this. But one young man did this very beautiful job and wrote this, what I thought was a poignant essay. And he said, I'm so concerned that my generation does not have any shared experiences. I talked to my parents, and when they went to see a movie, they'd find somebody that had a car, they'd pile in a car, they'd see a movie together, and then they'd go have pizza. And if they would save their money to buy a record album, and then they'd go to someone's house and they'd listen to this record album together over and over, and they'd talk and they'd laugh. He said, I can binge all the entertainment I want by myself in my room alone, and no one will ever have even heard of my favorite artist or my favorite television show. We have no connection. We have no shared experiences that make human memories.
Wow.
And I think that's just one example of this isolation. Look, we live in a wonderful time. I mean, I love Netflix. I love Spotify. But, you know, we also live in this dangerous time where we are our technology and these algorithms and recommendation engines. And it's going to get worse with AI, because very, very soon, Netflix and Instagram and all these places, Spotify, they'll be creating content, new content, just for you. right. based on what they know about you. And so that adrenaline that we get from experiencing something that we love is going to be even heightened. We're going to be, you know, really even more addicted to these things and even more alone. And I think this does point to where we need to be thinking about with our companies and with our marketing is that it's something with shared experiences, something with getting people together and gathering. And I'm starting to see some little trends. I just read there's a new trend in New York where Gen Z is gathering at bars specifically to watch movies together.
Yes.
So I think there is going to be a backlash. I think maybe one of the mega trends we'll be seeing is put the darn thing down.
Yes.
And go do something with friends.
Well, I was going to say to you, we miss our pub.
Yeah.
I want a pub down the road here. Not that I have to go a long distance for, but I need the community of being hanging out in a pub, having a beer, and I don't drink. But just to be with others, it's very interesting because we have been intentionally bringing friends together to be at our home because it's much more relaxing than a restaurant. And we're having a conversation about what do you watch on Netflix? Well, I don't watch Netflix. Well, what are you reading? Well, I read those and here's what you're reading and how do we exchange? And I found that we're old friends and good friends. Finding commonality is challenging. Not that we didn't talk about books or movies in general, but shared ones. We went to the movies 2 weeks ago for the first time in a long time and had a wonderful time. And we're telling people about it, but we didn't go with a group. And I'm beginning to think that our own personal happiness is going to have to be intentionally pulling together people to share these experiences. And because if not, it's lonely. It's not that it's lonely, but it is lonely. Your essay, though, it was brilliant.
And I wanted to build on something that you said a little earlier, that the pandemic didn't cause this. The pandemic accelerated a lot of this. And it's not just Gen Z. It's loneliness and isolation. It's affecting every generation. This has been creeping up on us for decades. And it's getting worse and worse year by year.
To your point, I spent several weeks last August in Portland, Oregon. I'm an anthropologist doing ethnographic work in senior living communities. And why do they go? They're lonely. What do they find? That people don't come out of their rooms. Yeah. And one, the gentleman said, nobody comes out for any of the activities. And I was fascinated by the fact that they pay a lot of money to go into a beautiful facility to live in an apartment and never come out. And I think that there's something that we need to, if it isn't the businesses doing it or the senior living communities doing it or our local communities doing it, we're going to have a very difficult next generation. Your essayist was very wise.
Yeah.
Advice for a young person. So you're right. It's not just Gen Z. It's across the board. Which then leads us to, some of the trends that you wrote about in this wonderful newsletter that you sent had to do with the next generations and what people who are marketing to them, building communities, should pay attention to. And I loved your list. The marketing disruptors, hyper-fragmentation of culture and media, rapid growth of discord in private communities, ad-free social media platforms, no water cooler moments, immersive and metaverse, data privacy, sustainability, neuroscience. And I went, how are we going to help the listener or the viewer begin to adapt to so much change? I had said to you, I want to talk about how to make change your friend and take charge. Your thoughts?
I've been thinking a lot about this, Andy, and speaking a lot about it. And the perspective that I'm trying to encourage businesses and individuals to think about is to sort of manage the overwhelm by thinking of a surfer. So for a surfer to be relevant, they don't need to change their surfboard. They have a good surfboard. It's a solid surfboard. So in thinking about this as a company, you have things that make you great. There are reasons why people love you. Maybe you have the most locations or the best flavors or the best service or the friendliest people, right? There's something in your DNA that makes you amazing and great. Now, as I mentioned, innovation in the future is going to be about applying a layer of AI to everything that we do. So if you're known for your excellent customer service, what you need to be focused on are the waves coming at you. You don't need a new surfboard. You need a new wave. You need to look at the next wave that's going to carry you and your surfboard into the future. And so, look, there's a lot out there about generative AI, generative art, generative text. Do you really need to be paying attention to that? Maybe not so much if your focus is customer service, because those layers, they're going to be implemented into everything we do, whether we want it or not. It's going to be implemented into Excel spreadsheets and QuickBooks and everything that you use. It's already happening. But specifically, you need to be looking at the waves of change that impact your core competency and get on top of that, you know, right away. And if you're a small business, it probably needs to be you. If you're a medium-sized business, maybe you assign somebody to start looking at what's happening in AI. And I think one of the best ways to do that, because the change is happening so fast, is to join some community that can help you. And so you can see ideas that are being vetted by other people around the world, so you don't have to have, you know, all the work yourself. And then you see the wave. Yep, this is the one. We need to subscribe to this service, or we need to test this service. And to me, that's really the strategy that we need to employ, or we're just going to go insane.
Well, but that's very interesting, because I love the surfer metaphor, because my family members who love to surf, and I'm endlessly in awe of how they get up on that board and it takes them in on very high waves, and it's scary. And I think that the feeling of being scared on that surfboard is something people can relate to as they're looking at everything, their business, their staff, and to think about. What I always preach is that you really don't know what's coming, but if you can't create a story about the future, you can't live today. We're futurists. You know, Martin Seligman's work on being a futurist is extremely important to understand the human mind. We don't really know what's going to come. We can prepare for it, but I can see it happening now so fast that I don't know how to act. And therefore, I become immobilized. And my preaching is pick a story. Could be right, could be wrong. Visualize something to your point about customer service. So I want to be known as having the most innovative, fast-moving customer service platform. And I'm going to figure out how to pilot it, test it, you know, develop my team to innovate on it, begin to see how we change the community who's using us, have them build an influence. I mean, just make it into things that make sense. Because if you can be homo prospectus, seeing the future, you're not going to make any decisions today. You're going to be so afraid of making the wrong ones, you'll make none, and that's a wrong one. So it's a very interesting time to make change your friend instead of an enemy, because it's here. And if you don't change, that's a bad thing to do.
You know, when I remember an interview that was done with Jeff Bezos in his early days of Amazon. And of course, Amazon was built on a lot of new technology platforms that he pioneered. And the interviewer said, well, you know, you've become, you know, at the forefront of this. What's next? What's the next technology that we need to embrace? He said, well, that's an interesting question, but a more interesting question is what's not going to change, because that's how you build your business. He said, at Amazon, he said, if I asked my customers 10 years from now, do you want higher prices? Do you want slower delivery? Do you want less variety? It would be impossible for me to think that they would say yes. So those three things are not going to change. So we only focus on the technology that's going to help us in those three things. And I think that's a good example of this surfer analogy, where you're not looking at everything going on in the world. You know, he's not looking at self-driving cars or, you know, whatever. He's looking at those three things. How do we make those things better and better and better and better and pioneer that technology? Because that's how we build our business on those fundamentals that aren't going to change.
And that goes for your business and my business, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At any stage, who are we? What do we offer? What are people buying? How do we help them do better? And then how do we capitalize on this wonderful fourth industrial revolution and all the other things that are coming? A couple of things that, as usual, it's time to wrap up. As much as I enjoy talking with you, you and I could talk for a long time.
We could.
More frequently. But I love the way in which you are curious. We didn't use the word curiosity, and I'm hearing it often as if it's a newfound human technology. But we're curious, you and I, and that curiosity allows us to listen to things through a fresh set of ears. I talk about fresh eyes, fresh lens. One, two, or three things you want our listeners not to forget or to do, some action points.
Well, I do really believe this idea that the most human company wins. Mm-hmm. And I think that still is going to drive success going forward. Let me give you a quick example. When ChatGPT came out, I was absolutely dumbfounded and excited and terrified and fascinated. And I called a friend of mine, Shelley Palmer. He's one of the top tech analysts in the world. I said, Shelley, you know, what did you think about this? He said, it's terrifying. He said, I've blogged almost every day for 15 years. I asked ChatGPT to write a blog post for me in my voice, and it did a fantastic job. He said, I'm 80% replaced. Now, on the surface, that does seem terrifying. But the more interesting question is, what's the 20%? The 20% is his personal brand.
Yes.
It's the way he shows up as a human in this world. Shelley is known. He is trusted. He is beloved. And in this world of misinformation and lies and deep fakes, if you're known and beloved and trusted, that is going to be such a strength, such a value to the world. So I think, you know, working on your personal brand, being known, being the most human company, I think that is, you know, as far as I know, honestly,
that's
the
it.
Only strategy we have left in the face of AI.
As I say, if I can do 50 blogs in 5 minutes, then I have a lot of time. How can I use it to be curious, creative, even take long walks in the woods with my dog so I can think? And have a life that's not only work, because we have all been workers. You know, I've grown up always putting lots of time and effort into doing things that I can do in much less time and pretty darn well. And I send a thank you note to Chad every time he comes back with a good thing. I said, thank you. That was very well done.
And you know,
congratulations.
I did that this week too.
I am humanizing it. And I don't know if there's a little, you know, Wizard of Oz back there behind the curtain,
yeah.
But I'm perfectly happy saying thank you, because it is being human and appreciating work done in my behalf in some ways. It isn't that different than the copywriter. It's just coming fast and it's coming reasonably well. And people point out the problems. They say there are always problems. There's problems with fake news that humans write. You don't know what's really being done there. So time to take control and enjoy. Make change your friend. So I'm going to wrap up a delightful half hour with Mark Schaefer and thank him for joining me today. I love his subtag here. He's a marketing strategy humanity. And I think the humanity part probably comes first now. And then the rest of it follows as a way to make us and keep us more human. Thanks for joining us. We have risen into the top 5% of global podcasts. I can't thank you enough. Somebody actually did a survey and said we're among the top 20 futurist podcasts. I said I didn't know I was a futurist, but I do know I'm an anthropologist, and I like to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. Our newest book, Women Mean Business, Over 500 insights from extraordinary leaders to spark your success has 102 women in there, each of whom have shared five pearls of wisdom. And what's happening is this book is coming alive. And I have a hunch Mark has found that with his books as well. Every book has a signature. It's different. This is my third book. And what I'm finding is as you open it, something happens to you, the reader, and the energy and force comes through. And I've had people yell on Mark the book, people who send me quotes from the book, people have asked me, how do I do this? Will you have another book? How does a book have a life? And this one clearly is an exciting moment. So you can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or on my website, simonassociates.net, and we'll tell you more about it. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sending your emails and sending us wonderful people who would like to be here to share. Mark said something important. He's an educator. And we talk about celebrating and elevating and educating. And these are times where the changes are going to be probably as powerful as the invention of fire. He mentioned fire. You know, as an anthropologist, you go back 400, 500,000 years, million years, somehow we captured the power of fire to help cook our food. And that's changed our brain. And that brain won't stop changing. So enjoy the journey. I'll see you all. Observation turns into innovation when you're an anthropologist. So please keep observing and have a great day. Bye-bye now.